are we doing here tonight? Hoshana Rabba, right? Mm. What does that mean?
Need many Hoshanas.
Many Hoshanas. Many Hoshanot. Right. We go around many times tomorrow, asking Hashem to help us, and we have on tradition that this is the conclusion of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even though everything came to a close on Yom Kippur, there's still some aspect where our parnasa, how much rain, is going to be judged tonight. So we're adding merits. We're learning tonight. And this is an old Sephardi custom also to read the book of Dvarim on this night. Yeah. Okay. So after Hoshana Rabbah comes Simchat Torah, Shmini Atzeres, and Chutzar Tzvei Dvarim into 2 days. And we do all kinds of things to hide the fact that the year is beginning on Rosh Hashanah. We don't make it too obvious. We from our perspective, we prepare. But when we blow shofar all of the month of Elul, so we stop a day before Rosh Hashanah, we stop beforehand, and we keep things a little bit under wraps. One of the things we do to keep Rosh Hashanah under wraps is that we don't start the Torah on Rosh Hashanah. It would be most logical to start and end on Rosh Hashanah. So we push it off to Sukkot. We push it off by 2 weeks. So it's not completely obvious when the year begins. There are all kinds of things that are kept under wraps in Judaism. You ever notice that? Like, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah where Jerusalem is going to be. It doesn't say in the Torah where our capital is. It says the place that God will choose. And the Torah gives all kinds of signs how you could figure out which place it is. But the Torah doesn't say. We had on tradition, David sat down with Shmuel, and they sat over the tradition and the psukim, and they sat a whole night long figuring out where's Yerushalayim, where does God want the temple to be, where...
Prophets, wasn't it? Not in the
Torah. Right, but they worked based on the psukim in our parasha in the Torah, and the psukim in Vayechi in the Torah. So, there are a lot of things that the Torah leaves under wraps with different reasons. So we leave Rosh Hashanah under wraps. The Torah doesn't say we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says it's a holiday. You bring special sacrifices. The prophets revealed to us that this is when we're judged. This is when the world was created, and this is when we're judged. It doesn't say it overtly in Torah. The Torah just says, you celebrate this day. What are we celebrating? Every other holiday it says. Hashanah doesn't say. There's another holiday it doesn't say, and that's the holiday that's going to be tomorrow night, Shmini Atzeres. The Torah doesn't say, what are you celebrating then? You don't sit in the sukkah. You don't take lulav and esrog. Every other holiday has a special thing. Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, Yom Kippur, we fast. Pesach, we eat matzah, Shavuos, we bring the special first sacrifice. Sukkot, we shake lulav and esrog, we sit in the sukkah. Along comes Shmini Atzeres, Torah doesn't say why. What are you doing? What are you celebrating?
Isn't just another day, like, to have off, or?
So, we have on tradition. Yeah.
Could it be, like, a day, because for the past holidays, the book has been opened, so, and the judgment, you know, we've been getting judged, so now the book is sealed, right? So, since it's sealed, that we're happy that our judgment's over and that, yeah, basically the book is sealed.
Here, Chazal said it a little bit differently. Chazal said that we've had so much time together. If kids come to visit their parents, you guys probably know this. And then it comes time to leave, the parents say, stay a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. Kids say, no, I'm good now.
So sometimes the kid's sick and the parent says, I know you're better today, stay home one more day. And the Medrash says that's what God is saying on Shmini Atzeres. God says, I don't need you to do a sukkah. I don't need you to do lulav and esrog. I don't need special sacrifices. All I want, one more day together. Stay at the temple one more day. Like a parent that's departing from the child. You're going to stay away now all winter, right? The Jews left the temple. They wouldn't come back till Pesach. 6 months, you're going to be away. I'm not going to see you. You're going off to Machon Meir. What's going to be with you? I want one more day with you. A day just for us. All 7 days of Sukkot, from the first day till tomorrow, we bring sacrifices corresponding to the 70 nations. Hashem says, now Shmini Atzeres, the last day, is just us. This is a simple sacrifice, it's just a holiday without all the fanfare of Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres doesn't have everything else. We, in the times of the Gaonim, we instituted that we celebrate the Torah on that day. That day that's us, well, okay, what's our connection to Hashem? What's our marriage contract? The Torah. So we celebrate, we make a massive siyum. We finish the Torah on Shmini Atzeres and we start again, and Simchas Torah is about the siyum of we start the Torah and we're starting fresh. But technically in the Torah it doesn't say any purpose to the holiday other than let's get together. Let's be together, you and I. So that's tonight. We're preparing for Simchas Torah. We're going to conclude. We're going to read the last parsha of the Torah. This Simchas Torah, which happens to pull out on Shabbos. Usually, that's the one parsha you don't read on Shabbos. The Zos HaBracha. You only read it on Simchas Torah. This year, Simchas Torah falls out on Shabbos. Most people don't get to learn this parsha. You hear it over and over and over again while everyone's in the shul, but no one gets to learn it. So we're going to try to learn it tonight. There's not Shem, in a few minutes we'll start. Yeah.
Some people have tradition, like they eat in the sukkah the night of Simchat Torah. Is there any basis for that? Or?
So technically, in Chutzlars,
because like they're not sure if Sukkot is officially over.
Right. So in Chutzlars, we're always in doubt. Which day was the beginning of the month? Which day is the day of the holiday? That's why we keep 2 days holidays. And in that case, we're technically, we treat it as though Shmini Atzeres is possibly the seventh day. So if we're uncertain, we maintain it a holiday, but we say maybe it's really the seventh. If it's the seventh, we're obligated to sit in Sukkah. If it's the eighth, there's no obligation. So that's why some have the custom, they do everything in the Sukkah, and then there are different customs as to how to divide it.
They would eat it, like some got Torah night, they would eat in the Sukkah, but by day they would eat inside.
There are all kinds of customs. Each one should ask his rabbi if he's in Chutzlars. Yeah. It's complicated. What can you do? Torah was given for a year. Everywhere else, it's like, okay, how are we going to make it work? Right.
The question I had before about the rain. If the judgment of rain is sealed, coming up, like tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh.
Why then do we start, so to speak, praying for rain, like in...
So two things. That's a good point. We are going to switch to Mashi Baruch Morda Geshem and Shmini Atzeres. And most of Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, the Chazanah has a special prayer called Tfilas Geshem, which introduces Mashi Baruch Morda Geshem. So guys, get prepared. Starting Shabbos. Shabbos Musaf already. We start saying Mashi Baruch Morda Geshem. Right. Those of you who are Sfardim, who say Morid Atal,
or Nusach
Sfard, if you forgot Nashi Baruch Morid Geshem but said Morid Atal, you don't have to go back. You're covered. Those of you who are Ashkenazim and say Morid Atal, same thing. Those of you who are Ashkenazim and you don't say Morid Atal, so then if you forget Nashi Baruch Morid Geshem and you finish the blessing, you got to start Shmon Esrei all over again. So it's good to be a Sfardim. And there's nothing wrong with an Ashkenazi also saying Morid Atal. There's nothing wrong with that during the summer months. Later in the season, depending on if you're in Israel or in Chutzlars, depends when, we start actually asking for rain, and that's when we say V'tein Talu Matar in the blessing of Baruch Aleinu. And that was simply because people were traveling back from Jerusalem. They were traveling back home after the Sukkot holiday. And the rabbis instituted that we wait. We don't ask clearly for rain until they made it back home. So we wait. In Chutzlars, we wait till December 5th. Here in Israel, we wait till you'll see a day in Cheshvan that everyone tells you. I think if you have signed Cheshvan.
Exactly. So, like, but if it's already sealed, though, why don't we just pray?
That's the question we dealt with during the 10 days.
Yeah.
That why do we pray all together if everything's sealed on Rosh Hashanah?
Right.
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what are we davening for the rest of the year?
I think it's different, though, because I can understand, like, in terms of, like, tshuva, like, I can understand, you know, you do something the day after Yom Kippur, all right? Like, you're a clean slate, you know? And you do something, well then, yeah, you make tshuva in that. Like, for the course of the year...
Not only about tshuva, though. We say, Baruch Aleinu, bless the year.
Yeah.
What are we asking to bless the year? So we said two explanations, two answers in the Gemara. One answer is that really we're technically judged every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is its own judgment. There's an overall judgment on Rosh Hashanah, and then there's a specific judgment that happens every day. Tivchenenu lirgaim, David HaMelech said. By minutes, God judges us, depending on what we deserve. And that's one answer in the Gemara, that we go with that opinion. The other answer is, even after they've decided in heaven, that doesn't mean it's over. If they decided a person will not live out his year this year. So he could work on changing that throughout the year.
Yeah.
Even after they've decided. So you can tear up the decree.
Yeah.
That's up to us to do that. And what about rain, the Gemara says? It's being decided exactly how much rain is going to fall. So what's there to do about that? So the Gemara says, you could have rain fall and all of it falls out in the Sahara, or you could have rain fall exactly where it's needed, and even a small amount of rain falling at exactly the right day with exactly the right amount of clouds at exactly the right place could produce excellent fruits.
I think that's just so beautiful how like it's kind of like a partnership, so to speak, you know, like we really have involvement, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We have responsibility, though.
So why is
But I mean, it's... Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Of course it does, yeah. But it's still... I think it's really intimate. I like it a lot.
So why is it that, it says we ask for a blessing for rain and the blessing of the years, they pick a date from the secular calendar, not the Hebrew calendar?
Good question.
In the Siddur is based on a Hebrew calendar. Day is Sukkot, what day is Rosh Chodesh.
So we basically ask for rain at the time that they decided out in Babylon that the rain season begins. And the rain season begins based on the solar calendar.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're taking into account the solar calendar. That's why it's a secular date. Really, it's not a secular date. It's a date that you could figure out if you knew how to work it off of our calendar, because our calendar is... mixture of the solar and the lunar calendar. But the simplest thing, if you want a steady date, is take the solar calendar. That's like saying, how come sunrise goes by the solar calendar? Because it's all about the sun.
Right.
You could have a calendar that tells you sunrise every day of the year based on the Gregorian date, right? And it's going to be steady. Why? Because solar calendar means goes by the sun. Sunrise is when the sun rises.
Mm-hmm.
So here too, if it's a question of seasons, so that's defined by the sun. That's why this, if you want a steady date throughout the years, you go by the solar calendar. If you want a date that's going to change, on the Jewish calendar, our calendar doesn't stick only to the solar calendar.
All right, well, like when we change to praying for dew to changing to and praying to rain, whenever we switch over, that's based on the Hebrew date, and that's not consistent.
So wait, let's divide. We said that on Shabbos, Musaf, we're going to switch to say Masha Baruch Morad HaGeshem, right? There we do not ask for rain. We mention the fact that that is one of God's forces. It's one of the terms of praise. God, you are mighty. Atah Gibol Olam Hashem, Mechayim Metim. You resurrect the dead. You give people hope when it seems like it's all over. Rav Lo Shia, you give great salvation. Masha Baruch Morad HaGeshem, you also make the winds blow and bring down rain. It's part of our description. But we only describe things that are relevant now. We don't use descriptions that we don't see day to day. Why is that okay? Where do we see God resurrecting the dead? I was sure you guys would ask me. So why do we say praise we don't see yet? Well, if you guys don't ask, I don't have to answer. Okay, let's go over to the parasha.